God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB and Hollywood and Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Coming up, I told you a few weeks ago about industrial-level surrogacy, the buying of babies in bulk sometimes, that has been demonstrably used by deeply, deeply sin-affected, perhaps possessed, definitely sick men to purchase babies for the sole purpose of abuse. I've been researching the market, the size of the market, some of the states that are most friendly to this activity, and I think you're going to be surprised as to which states are most friendly. In fact, I think you'll be surprised to know which states even question this activity, done without, usually, out any background checks. We'll talk about that coming up. It's important that this not be allowed to continue untethered from any form of concern for the kids, the babies. And there's a simple way to make that happen. A simple way that when we demand it and these providers push back against it, will prove what we probably suspect about these providers, that it's not really about helping families, it's about money. And look, money is an important thing in society. It shouldn't be as important as it is. We should trust in God and recognize that God provides everything. And we do need it to live, clearly. And no one bemoans Tony Fauci making a living. That's what we have to do in this society. That's what we're called to do. We're called to work. Where I bemoan Fauci, and I'll be clear about this week as these hearings are going on, is I genuinely believe that he's a sociopath. I'm not saying that to draw attention to myself at all. I genuinely believe it. I would boil it down to one thing, and you'll forgive me. I will make these points a couple times this week because I do not feel that the Republicans are doing a good job in this questioning. There's been some of it that's been okay, but there are some key points to this that are not getting through. Here's one. Tony Fauci had the capacity to install a national standard for testing. He could have done that. President Trump mistakenly gave Fauci the ability to act as dictator for a little while, for a long while, for a long, long while. Biden extended that and made it worse. As dictator, Tony Fauci could have done this with these PCR tests. You remember those? They shoved that wand all the way up inside your nose, way up against your brain. I mean, it doesn't touch your brain, but it's right there. That happens to touch often a membrane that cannot regenerate. Did you know that? It does. And the PCR test was not designed to find viruses. It doesn't culture a virus. You can find anything with it. A fragment left over from a cold you had 15 years ago could be called COVID. If you turn the dial up enough, explain this. Your kitchen could be spotless. You could have spent 6 days cleaning and scrubbing, moving everything, shining it. If I came in with a microscope, I could convince you that your kitchen was a horrid, disgusting mess by turning the microscope way up. So it is with PCR tests. The higher the cycle rate, the more likely you are to find a false positive. So Tony Fauci could have done this if he was interested in being, well, a man who uses the scientific process. He could have installed a national rate, a cycle rate, perhaps 15 cycles, and said, this will determine whether or not you have COVID. He didn't do that. He could have chosen 25. He didn't do that. 35, 45, 55. above 25 cycles, you're going to get false positives. At 50, you're going to get almost all false positives. He didn't choose any number. But he chose some numbers. He paid hospitals to find COVID cases. So how would they do that? They'd turn the dial up as high as it needs to go to get the money because they found a COVID case. Tony Fauci lied about asymptomatic transmission. That has never been a factor. Who says? Tony Fauci. Now, I can play the audio for you. Asymptomatic transmission is not a driver of upper respiratory virus transmission. All of a sudden, it was. Because you might be sick and not know it. A very simple question. Why did you choose to pay hospitals to find COVID rather than to figure out if people were sick from it? Why was there no national testing standard? Why? Well, I know how he treated. Well, that's up to states and hospitals and doctors to accomplish. And, you know, I don't think it's my job. Congresswoman, I'm sorry. You don't know what you're talking about. I don't think it's my job to get between patients and doctors. We make recommendations. No. Liar. You issued diktats, including a diktat that allowed states like Washington and other states to steal houses. Not to steal them. I know retired families who relied upon the cash flow from rental houses to sustain them. I know that they ended up living in their own garages because people weren't paying rent because they didn't have to because of Fauci. So just that question about testing standards shows what an absolute swindle this was. And it's one reason I think that this man is a sociopath. And I'll get into some deeper reasons on Thursday under why I really honestly believe he does not have a capacity to feel. Unless it's about himself. Then he can have plenty of feeling. This is from Laura Ingraham's program, Fox News. Fauci basically admitting to psychologically pressuring Americans.
Once people feel empowered and protected legally, you are going to have schools, universities, and colleges are going to say, you want to come to this college, buddy? You're going to get vaccinated. It's been proven that when you make it difficult for people in their lives, they lose their ideological bullshit and they get vaccinated.
Ideological blank. Okay. Tony. I agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't think you're a doctor. You have a license, but you didn't act as one. There's a massive study done by researchers from five prestigious universities, including Bristol's, Oxford, Harvard, Yale. And they looked at cases of myocarditis in children. 100% of cases of myocarditis and pericarditis in kids, 100% came from the injections, the COVID shots. Think of that soundbite.
Well, when you steal people's lives and psychologically abuse them, to the point that they're scared they're not going to be able to feed their families, they'll do exactly what you tell them to do. Even if it means injecting their children with a gene sequencing device that ended up giving them a heart disease.
You can mitigate the harms from myocarditis. You cannot regenerate the heart tissue that's been destroyed. Fauci pretends the masks, the lockdowns, injection diktats for kids were justified.
I'm going to go through a list of COVID mitigation measures that you supported over the course of the pandemic and ask you to give me a yes or no as to whether you believe these measures were justified. Business closures?
Early on when 5,000 people were dying a day, yes.
Church closures?
Same thing.
School closures?
Again.
Stay-at-home orders?
These were important when we were trying to stop the tsunami of deaths that were occurring early on. How long you kept them going is debatable.
Mask mandates for adults, mask mandates for children, mask mandates for children under five.
And going back to what I said before, all of that is in the context of, at the time, 4,000 to 5,000 people a day were dying.
Scientific evidence for that?
Excuse me?
Mask mandates for children under five, there's scientific evidence supporting that?
There was no study that did masks on kids before. You couldn't do the study. You had to respond to an epidemic that was killing 4,000 to 5,000 Americans per
vaccine
day.
Vaccine mandates for employees, vaccine mandates for students, vaccine mandates for military.
Vaccines save lives. It is very, very clear that vaccines have saved hundreds of thousands of Americans.
Tony Fauci is a liar. I believe he's a sociopath. The biggest study ever done on masks was done by the CDC. A study of studies. It took six clinical trials, randomized, of real-world scenarios of people wearing masks and not, wherein real subjects had real upper respiratory viruses. It included people closed into apartments and dorms, and even people on a trip to Mecca. That study showed no difference between people wearing masks and no masks. The study concluded masks do not stop the transmission of upper respiratory viruses. That was Fauci, CDC, that did that. He's a liar. In terms of 4,000 to 5,000 people dying per day from COVID, how does he know? It goes right back to the fraud of the PCR test. With no national testing standard, he didn't know. There was never a time when 4,000 to 5,000 people per day were dying from COVID. With it, sure. The average age of death of a COVID victim, 82. The average number of comorbid factors, six. Six. Among those deaths that were counted was a woman in Florida doing DIY home repair. She fell. She got a massive concussion, a cerebral hemorrhage, and she did not recover because she had once had COVID, according to a PCR test, where hospitals were paid to find COVID in people. She was labeled a COVID death. In the separate country of Washington State, a man who died in a motorcycle accident had tested positive for COVID with a PCR test run at whatever cycle rate. He died from COVID. Multiple factors for that. Hospitals get paid for COVID deaths, not for motorcycle deaths. Insurance companies in the separate country of Washington did not have to pay out life insurance claims if it was COVID, even if it was a faulty PCR test pushed down by a man who could have demanded a national standard for a testing rate, but he didn't because Tony Fauci rigged the system. Paying doctors to find COVID cases, paying doctors to put people on ventilators even if it wasn't needed, paying doctors to put people on a cocktail of pills you would give an end-stage hospice patient, paying people in hospitals to put people on remdesivir known to destroy kidneys. I'm a little frustrated. I don't feel like the Congress has done a good job of questioning this sociopath, and I honestly believe he is that. We'll talk some more about a doctor who was censored. He had an opportunity to talk to Fauci, and then from the same world, the technocratic medical system, let's talk about the market size of industrial-level surrogacy, targeting same-sex attracted men who literally purchase babies. This is The Disciples' View. Thank you for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Breaking a talk radio rule, you're never to go over one segment for one topic and then you move on. But the Fauci hearing is just so big, so important, and they're so hoping that we won't concentrate on it. The Bible tells people to use honest weights and measures. Seems like a good idea. If you're going to sell something to someone, make sure it's a pound. I mean, after all, you remember where the baker's dozen came from, right? Bakers didn't want to be accused of shorting people, so a baker's dozen was 13. That way it was more than 12. Never be accused of cheating a person. Tony Fauci chose not to use an honest weight and measure. That's the core of the COVID lie. The PCR test turned up to these cycle rates that are absurd, and then the incentivizing of doctors to find COVID cases. Even where no one was sick, no one was going to feel sick, and where those people were not transmitting the virus to anybody because they probably never had it. Or if they had it, their body quickly negated it. That's a con artist at work. He did not want to be trackable. Had he installed a national rate for PCR testing, he would have had to debate why 20 versus 50 cycles. The higher the cycle rate, the more likely you are to find false positives, and they found plenty of them. It may well be that 90% of the deaths attributed to people dying from COVID was almost certainly with it. Perhaps 80% of those deaths with it. It's very likely that very few people died from COVID, meaning otherwise healthy, in comparison to the numbers that they pushed. There's also the incentivizing of doctors and hospital systems to put people on vents, ventilators, which is in large part a death sentence. So much that's not being questioned, I think, well enough in Congress, beginning with the cycle rate question. Why did you decide to commit fraud with the PCR tests? There are people who've done a pretty good job. In Congress, House Representative Dr. Rich McCormick ripped into Fauci's push for diktats and mocks his bureaucratic view of the pandemic, so-called pandemic, playing the clip of Fauci admitting to psychologically manipulating Americans.
Why would I be criticized by a bureaucrat for doing my very best as a healthcare? This is a rhetorical question. But why? Why would the government, who's never treated a patient for COVID, you can read all the things you want, but you're not there. You're not seeing patients. You're not watching people die, intubating patients right there with that disease in your face, watching it happen, watching the development of this disease and actually learning from it. But I'm being told by bureaucrats what's right and wrong. And what's funny is everything I was censored on, I was proven to be right. Pretty crazy, isn't it? You said in an interview that you gave as part of an audiobook written by Michael Spector that you believed an institutional should make it hard for people to live their lives so they'd feel pressured to get vaccinated. Could we run the audio clip on that, please?
Once people feel empowered and protected legally, you were going to have schools, universities, and colleges are going to say, you want to come to this college, buddy? You're going to get vaccinated. Lady, you're going to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Big corporations like Amazon and Facebook and all of those others are going to say, you want to work for us? You get vaccinated. And it's been proven that when you make it difficult for people in their lives, they lose their ideological bull and they get vaccinated.
That's what he played. You heard it earlier, but playing it face to face to Fauci and knowing what I told you last hour, 100% of cases of myocarditis and pericarditis in kids happen because of the injections. A massive study, Oxford, Harvard, Yale, Bristol, researchers from those schools and others, some of the most respected schools in the world, said 100% of the cases of this heart disease caused by the injections. And Fauci pressured people. Harvard, by the way, was paid a bunch of money by the federal government to figure out how to con people into taking the injections. We can talk about that later. Back to the question in Congress. Dr. Rich McCormick gets Fauci to admit that objections to the mRNA shots were not ideological, quote, well, nasty word. He cites one of many cases of Americans losing their jobs because they didn't want to get shot up with the modified RNA.
Are all objections to COVID vaccinations ideological bull, Dr. Fauci?
No, they're not, and that's not what I was referring to.
Well, in reference to making it hard for people to get education, traveling, working, I'd say it very much was in context. And I take great offense to this. Miss Allison Williams testified before this committee about losing her job because she sought an exemption for ESPN's vaccine mandate, which came from recommendations from bureaucrats like yourself. She and her husband were actively working with a fertility expert, a physician, on how to get pregnant, and agreed with the premise that she was young, healthy, wanted to get pregnant, and shouldn't get the vaccination for medical purposes. But she was fired because you made it hard, just like you said in your statement, because you didn't want to make sure that the ideological got in the way of her working, of living her life, of making a medical decision with her healthcare professional. I think Americans should take great offense to this.
I think Americans should take great offense to much of it. I had a woman contact me in Seattle. She worked for a major health insurance company, and she'd health provider. She's a nurse. She got vaccinated for something else, and she went into anaphylactic shock. She was hospitalized in her own ER. She had to be shocked back to life with the paddles of life. She became disabled, could no longer be a nurse, not in the traditional sense, because she wasn't able to walk around. She was so damaged from that vaccine that she ended up being moved to a home position where she processed medical billing, no longer able to walk the floors to save people's lives. When the COVID shots came along, her employer told her, you have to get them. Her doctor said, are you crazy? This has many of the same ingredients of the other actual vaccine that nearly killed her. This will probably finish the job. Her employer said, we don't care. You will get them or you will be fired. When I had her on my program and they got pressured, they changed their mind. It will be shown, this is a prediction, it will be shown that companies were bribed to do this. We already know hospital systems were bribed to not criticize the injections. We already know that pediatricians were bribed to get high percentages of their patients injected. And if those people, those doctors, ever told the truth about the injections, that money would be clawed back. Tony Fauci was at the center of handing out money. This hasn't been talked about enough. And his organization, his former organization, the CDC, was at the center of raking it in. $700 million in royalties from pharmaceutical companies. I contend that Tony Fauci is a sinful man. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But I contend that he takes pleasure in it. So perhaps he's not just a sociopath, perhaps he's a psychopath. He's upset that people are threatening him. I am too. Don't do that. Please do not fall into the enemy's trap. I'm guarding my tongue. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to lead this segment because I could say a bunch. He should not be threatened. He should be on trial, not in Congress, in a courtroom, where he doesn't get to play the games that he does in Congress in the way he doesn't answer questions. One more sound clip here from the questioning under Dr. Rich McCormick. McCormick concluded this discussion with Fauci by shaming him for his anti-science, fear-based diktats.
That's exactly what you meant when you said making it hard for people to live without getting a vaccination. You affected people's ability to work, travel, be educated, to actually flourish in American society, to self-determine, as we're all given God-given rights. Shame on you. Dr. Fauci, you've become Dr. Fear. Americans do not hate science. I don't hate science. The American people hate having their freedoms taken from them. You inspired and created fear through mass mandates, school closures, vaccine mandates that have destroyed the American people's trust in our public health institutions. This fear you created will continue to have ripple effects over generations to come. You have already seen its effects in education, in the economy, and everything else. Quite frankly, you said, if you disagree with me, you disagree with science. Dr. Fauci, I disagree with you because I disagree with fear. And with that, I yield.
There's no such thing as they use the phrase, disagreeing with science. Science is a process. It is not a conclusion. It is a verb, not a noun. Fauci knows this as well. God watches all of this. He was in every conference room. He was CC'd on every email. And I honestly pray that Tony Fauci comes to understand that all the games he played to avoid Freedom of Information Act requests, such as not using email, having people hand him pieces of paper, drop them off at his house, using back channel ways, actually having friends email common friends so it couldn't reach Fauci because that man knows what he's doing was wrong. I hope he understands that that back channel didn't cut God out of it. I truly, truly pray for Tony Fauci's soul. As I sit here today, I don't know how he can repent if he won't even allow himself to admit all he needed to do was have a simple national testing standard and not pay hospitals to find cases. Rather, pay hospitals to cure people. You know, sending them home with high doses of vitamin D and C and saying, get plenty of sun and rest. Oh no, vitamin D and C, they were big enemies. Remember that? He comes from a technocratic medical class. If it can be done, it should be done. The same technocratic medical class, of course, that has grown to believe that murdering babies should happen at any time. Why do you have to just wait? Why is it okay only before 9 months? No, their ethicist is saying that. After a baby's born, after all, the baby's not useful. Why shouldn't a parent be allowed to starve the baby? Partial birth abortions, all of it ugly. That's one side of the abuse of babies' lives, but by the technocratic medical class for money and power, for population reduction. But there is an equal and opposite to this. They're also making babies in order to serve a target market of mostly same-sex attracted men. That's mostly who's being targeted. I want to ask you a question. If there was a $15 billion global market, do you think you'd see ads for those products? You know, like cars, travel, insurance, retirement, right? You see ads for that, right? Banking, pharma, you see ads for that, right? Have you ever seen an ad recruiting you to be a surrogate mother? Have you ever seen an ad recruiting you to purchase babies? Well, it's happening, but it's not happening through the sort of advertising we would think. It's going on behind the scenes. The global surrogacy market, this according to Spherical Insights, the global surrogacy market was valued at $15 billion in 2023. $15 billion, but hold on. By 2033, the projection is $99.75 billion, almost $100 billion. This is for the purchasing of babies. This is not a family member deciding to have a baby for someone who can't, and a dear friend who was looking at that as an option for he and his wife. Young people that want a second child, they were thinking of asking his wife's sister to carry a baby for them. In that case, she would have a loving connection with the family. She would be auntie and birth mom, and the baby would be tracked and cared for. Not the case under commercial surrogacy, industrial level. The babies are not followed up upon. They're just sent home. I shared with you a few weeks ago the fact that pedophiles are using this to purchase children for the sole reason of abusing them. And imagine, even after that child is rescued, praise God, children are rescued. That human being has to ask for life. Why was I made? Well, initially you were made by humans to be abused. You exist because God loves you, and there is a purpose. And that purpose might well be for us to see how we treat people like this. The states most friendly to this surrogacy include Colorado, Vermont, Delaware, Idaho, Nevada, and of course, Washington and California. It might be easier to say which states are not particularly friendly to it. This site called Surrogacy Laws, it is aimed at same-sex attracted men who want to have kids. It says, be careful in Arizona, Nebraska, and Indiana. The laws there are iffy. Don't try it in Louisiana. The other 46 states, you're good to go. Even in my home state of Idaho, thought of as very conservative. Women can earn up to $65,000 for renting their wombs. And many women do it more than once. The women that they're targeting mostly for this are military wives. Their husbands earn relatively low salaries, but the women have really good health insurance and tend to be physically healthy. Again, in most cases, there's no background checks. So how about just a simple national law? Surrogacy parents will go through the same background checks as adoptive parents, and the children will be followed up on. If you do that, take a big step towards removing the evil from this. We'll come back on The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Hey, it's not COVID news. It's not technocratic medical news, but NATO has apparently decided to take U.S. troops and move them up to the front lines with Russia, preparing for rapid deployment of American soldiers. And they say this is because they fear Moscow's plotting major wars with Europe. I wish I didn't doubt that. Well, let me rephrase that. I wish I could trust NATO. I wish that I wasn't thinking, gosh, we're already funding two sides of a war between Hamas and Israel. And we did everything that figurehead Biden, when he was senator, said would cause Putin to invade another country. Everything. And that was after we started a coup in the country in question. Wow, it's easy to be really, really cynical, isn't it? And yet God is just so magnificent. Do you know how many people we've had at our church show up and say, I've never walked into a church before, but nothing makes sense anymore. I need someone to make it make sense. It seems so evil. I just got an update on a couple that came in 3 weeks ago to do that. They're already in a life group. They're already in discipleship classes. Their kids are thriving. It doesn't always happen that way, but God so often uses moments like this in history that his church might thrive, that his people might have an opportunity to show how different we are from the rest of the world, and that he uses us for his face to shine, for people to see him through us. Particularly at times like these. It's easy to be cynical, but why not be excited? There are plenty of people who are awakened through what Fauci did to the great evil. I know people who left woke churches, churches that were not biblically strict, not even biblically conversant, not even biblically literate, because those churches imposed injection diktats and masking diktats. I know people who left those churches for those reasons and found biblically strict, biblically observant, actual Christian churches, and after the first 2 weeks of being uncomfortable, actually opened their Bibles and read and said, oh my goodness, you mean the Old Testament really does matter? Because my woke church told me the only part of the Bible that matters is love your neighbor as yourself. That was it. I was told Jesus never addressed the topic of marriage or the topic of adultery. I was told many things. Do you know how many people because of what Fauci did to churches that chose to fold and follow his diktats, found other churches. I can name the church I just spoke at in Gig Harbor, Washington. They exploded because they refused to follow the diktats. They sued a couple of hundred new members. And now those members have come to realize that they had been fed a lie, a false version of Christianity. So many people were fed lies. Chris Cuomo, former CNN host, is trying to do everything he can to rebrand himself as a centered truth teller, not beholden to either party. That's branding. Well, currently, Chris Cuomo is rebranding as this thoughtful moderate. It took a pretty big hit courtesy of, well, Chris Cuomo.
There was so much talk that they don't want you to take ivermectin. Ivermectin is the way to go. Take it. Joe Rogan got better from ivermectin. And by the way, I don't like what people did to Joe Rogan about ivermectin. I don't
you
like
that. You did it.
No.
Okay. Yes, you did.
Find the clips.
Dude, find the clips. You shamed Joe Rogan.
Find the
you
clips.
You said he's taking horse dewormer. You and Don Lemon were chuckling at each other about it. No. I'll go find the clips.
First of all,
clips.
You just saw the clips.
I watched
I'm not chuckling. I'm listening to Don.
But no. The clip I'm talking about wasn't on there. And here, it's absolutely look, there. Here, do we have it? Hold on. Let's play the clip.
Injecting drugs for animals and horse.
And people telling them to. What person, you know, you talk about like, you know, cancel culture and who to shame. Ivermectin, a dewormer, really?
They are shaming themselves.
That's no what it is.
They're shaming themselves.
So you're taking a dewormer right now.
This is
Chris, you can't apologize for that.
This.
You weren't being clear that it was this, right. And you know that, dude. You're being so dishonest right now.
I'm not being dishonest.
You were talking about ivermectin, the drug. You were not talking about this version of ivermectin. Come on,
I was responding to a situation where we were told that this is what people were searching out to take, and nobody knew what it was going to do to them. Look. I'm taking the drug right now. Obviously, I don't think it's all poison. I stopped calling it the horse drug when, and you can not like it, CNN's chief medical officer, who is Sanjay Gupta, said to me, you shouldn't just call it a horse dewormer. There's a whole legitimate aspect of the drug. I wouldn't use it for COVID-19, but it's not just the veterinary grade. So I stopped calling it that.
Yeah, and you called it that because you were told to? With the same vehement action, same vehement drama, dramatic voice you're doing now, I truly question if he is an actor and reading lines in pursuit of fame. I hope not, but I do question it. He's supposedly one of the wise men of media, Chris Cuomo. And in this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
And I hope that... Prime Minister Xi, she has some difficulties right now.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three soundbites that I think prove my point that God allows these people to have their moments of leadership glory. Soundbite number one, the World Health Organization's boss man, Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, wants to try a different approach with people he calls anti-vaxxers.
It's time to be more aggressive in pushing back on anti-vaxxers. I think they use COVID as an opportunity and, you know, all the havoc they're creating.
The havoc we're creating by responding and saying, if the injections work, why don't they work? If they stop transmission, why don't they stop infection or transmission? And if they're safe, why aren't they safe? Yes, it's caused me to question all vaccines. Reason? Because the Amish don't get autism. Why is that? Could it be because they don't vaccinate? Tribes that don't vaccinate don't get autism. Why would that be? Might it be because they don't vaccinate? Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Rosie O'Donnell discusses her 11-year-old autistic daughter being allowed to fall into the harmful delusion that she's neither boy nor girl.
You know, I'm a lesbian icon. She teaches me things every day that I have no idea about. And she said, I want a name that is gender neutral. I said, well, what kind of a name? She said, I was thinking about it, and I'm thinking of Clay. Morning, baby girl, right? Yeah. I would always say that. And she said to me about a year and a half ago, I don't like that.
Okay.
I'm not a girl, and I'm not a boy. I said, okay, I understand.
Mm-hmm. You understand what? That she thinks she doesn't have any sex organs? That she thinks that she doesn't have the genomes of a girl? That she thinks she's a puppy? There's just as much proof that she's a puppy as she's non-binary. It is so indicative of Hollywood to say, I'm being taught so much by my children. Right? Like I'm taught by my teleprompter. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Philadelphia just held the largest so-called drag queen story hour event ever.
Drag Story Time is, of course, a literacy program. Literacy is the foundation for success through life, so that's why we
had never happened before. Something felt different.
My mom told us all we should go to bed early.
Why did it become important for men who want the world to believe they're women to perform sexual drama in front of children so they can read books to them? Is it really so they can read books? Does anyone actually believe that? Why did that happen? Because it was organized from the top down through a captured institution, the American Library Association. Man, it's easy to get cynical. Do you know how many parents have said, I'm out. I'm out. Seattle Public Schools lost 40,000 students in 1 year. 40,000. Those people are now homeschooling and in homeschool co-ops. And a lot of homeschool co-ops have this thing about being Christian. God can take any act of evil and use it for good. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I'm just following my orders here.
On A Disciple's View.
I got an email that I shared with you from a woman seeking input on, well, she's feeling like she wants a divorce. And I gave a very quick response, and I wanted to expand on it because I think it's very, very important that my words are heard precisely. So I responded in person to this woman. She sent me a note. Her name is Jenny. I listen to your show every day, and I really enjoy it. I'm writing it to ask you to please pray for me. I've been married for many, many years, and there's been some physical abuse and very much emotional abuse. I would like to get a divorce. But as a Christian, how do I handle all of this? And what would God think? He's a narcissistic man and comes from a family with a lot of mental illness in their family history. I was 20 when I got married, so I was clueless what I was getting myself into. And this is very toxic for me, but I don't know what to do. Any advice I would appreciate? I wanted to be more precise so you could hear my full response, and this is what I wrote, Jenny. Hello, Jenny. Thank you for listening to the program. My heart breaks to hear about your struggle. You're going through a terrible, horrible, painful season. God sees, Jenny. He does, and he loves you dearly. Please remember, I'm neither a pastor nor a lawyer. I'm just a man who may have lived a little longer than you and seen a little more. That said, here's my advice. First and foremost, if you're in a position of physical danger, please make careful, intentional plans to leave as soon as you can. If you have family who will take you in, preferably far away from this man, please go to them. You can work on next steps from a position of physical safety. If your husband is violent to you, I would advise you to seek a divorce right now based upon that alone. He's not treating you as Christ requires men treat their wives. And men who beat their wives don't just stop beating them. It usually gets worse over time. If God decides to change the man, the Lord will make that clear, but I want you to be physically safe from harm. In regard to the emotional abuse, I feel sad and worried for you. As a Christian woman, I would hope you have in person spiritual help and support from fellow Christian women and a female church leader to help shepherd you in life. From what you tell me, your husband is not acting anything like a Christian man is to act. We're to love our wives as Christ loved and loves the church. This sounds like a consistent, maybe decades or decade-long issue. Unless you believe or even worry it would cause physical hurt to you, I would suggest you engage the church leadership to help your husband get free of this horrible, sinful treatment of you. If your husband is a Christian man, and who can really tell with true narcissists, I would ask you to work with your female leader to take this to overall church leadership, to ask for a plan for good counseling and accountability plan for him to stop this treatment of you. I'm guessing you may have already done that, and I'm guessing he may have pretended to listen and to change, though I hope I'm wrong. If you've not done that, please try it. And again, I would implore you, as part of that process, please consider moving out until God makes it clear this man has changed for good. No one has license to emotionally and or physically abuse you, Jenny. No one. If you have children, that certainly adds a layer of complication and urgency. If he's violent to you, he may one day be violent to them. They are most certainly learning from you how he treats you. Your daughter, should you have one, is observing as normal a man treating women so poorly. Likewise, a son is seeing it normalized. This doesn't change my advice to you, but it causes me to add this. Please see a family law attorney right now to begin the documentation of these abuses so you can protect your kids from that place of physical safety I addressed in the first paragraph of my response. I will pray for you. I will pray for your husband, as we're to pray even for our enemies. God loves you, Jenny. He does not expect you to live under this abuse, as Christ Jesus is our model for how we're to treat one another, most importantly, our families. May the Lord keep you. Todd. We're so blessed by this network. An audience of one, God Almighty, a family of many, that's you. Your monthly support makes it possible for us to take politics, culture, this medical technocratic class, and to address it, hopefully with God's word right at the center. And the magic of live radio is this. Given the 180 stations on which AFR appears, it's pretty certain that people sometimes pop into a rental car or their mom's car or their dad's car, or they're in with a friend or they're in a business and they hear news that draws their attention and they hear God's word. And God's word never returns void. Thank you for being a monthly supporter. If you're not yet one, you can do that at AFR.net. In the beginning was the word is with God, the word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Until God decides we can all speak again, may the peace of the Lord that surpasses all understanding rest upon you and your families. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.